Good evening. This is the Pacifica National Board Personnel Committee meeting of August 18th, 2008. This is Jack Van Akum, Chair of the Committee. Thank you for listening. Thank you, committee members, for being here. This meeting is hereby called to order. Hi, who joined us?
This is Afia.
Oh, hi, Afia. Oh, great to have you. The meeting is called to order, and I'm going to call the roll. A.C. Bird?
Here.
Okay, Afia Nwangaza?
Here.
Sarv Randhawa?
Here.
Nia Bediako?
Present.
Evelyn Bethune?
Present.
Jack Van Akum is present. Kathy Davis? Not present. And Margaret Prescott is absent. She's out of the country. Would someone like to volunteer to serve as note taker for this meeting? Would someone like to volunteer their closest friend on the committee?
Doc,
I volunteer Evelyn. Evelyn does
Doc did it last time. She did such a beautiful
job. Yeah, she did. It was really good.
Evelyn is really outstanding. I
love you guys, but I am having difficulty even finding a pen at this moment.
All right.
I really apologize.
I want a pencil. You have a pencil?
The coveted position of no taker will default to the chair if there aren't any takers.
Oh, gosh. Jack, right. My left eye is not cooperating.
I know. Nia has. Suddenly, this is sort of like, you know, when we had the draft, everybody was, you know, my foot hurts and I don't have a pencil.
And I do apologize. Jack, I promise you next time I'll do it. You won't have to search.
Okay, great. And now the fun job is timekeeper. The timekeeper gets to cut people off, and didn't you always wish you could do that? Timekeeper. Who would like to serve as timekeeper?
Okay, I'll do the timekeeping.
Nia, you'll do it. Okay.
Great. I feel bad.
Okay, we can move on to approval of agenda, and please, I sent out a mixed agenda with both open and closed session items. Let's not discuss the closed session items in open session. Stick to the open session. Agenda number three, I just briefly want to raise the issue of the employee handbook, because this is something that's fallen by the wayside. Our handbook is badly out of date. 1996 well precedes our current organizational structure. Number four, the national election supervisor, local election supervisor descriptions in the bylaws are becoming a personnel issue, whether we like it or not. I'm proposing a bylaws amendment. I'd like the committee to look it over for about 7 minutes. Number five, I think we're certainly ready to knock out the CFO job description. A member suggested to me earlier that we might have a freer discussion if we take that into closed session. I'll leave it up to the committee to decide. Do we feel better doing this in open or in closed session? Does anyone have a view?
I think it should be, this is Afia, I think it should be an open session.
Okay.
I agree with that, Jack. I mean,
okay.
We're not discussing anybody in particular.
This is Evelyn, unless we get to a point where we get specific and we need to cease and go into closed session.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Yes, AC?
Yeah, I also think that it would be, we know the, how can I frame this? Because we're in open. I think there's too much of a risk of folks saying something that should be in closed session. Why we don't do closed session from the very beginning. That way we don't have to worry about it. I mean, I know that we can say we'll cut it off if we feel, but there's always a risk of compromising folks before we reach that. I think it should be closed session because of the confidential nature of the these guys.
Well, the reality is that we're supposed to be talking in theoretical and conceptual terms, and I think there that each of us has enough experience in that regard generally, and in hiring and creating job descriptions more specifically, to be able to discipline ourselves. You know, anything is possible. The question is whether it's probable, and I think under these circumstances, it's not. And it does a disservice to the public, and it does it's disrespectful of the members of the committee to presume that we're so prone to error.
Okay, AC, would you care to respond to that?
No,
I have
can't.
To. I don't
I can't.
Gun.
I want to fundamentally disagree with the notion that this is disrespectful to the public. We do have closed sessions for a reason, and part of that reason is the confidentiality of people's jobs and job descriptions and so forth. Talking about holding open or having the discussion around job description, is that what you're talking about, Jack? I want to make sure.
Yeah, just around the job description, and the question is, you know, whether we feel we need to, you know, relate to specific situations which are appropriate to closed session in order to have a fully informed discussion. I'm, you know, it's a tightrope, and it's a difficult item, because, you know, I feel sympathetic in both directions, and I feel myself pulled in both directions. So I think we can probably take it to a vote. Evelyn, you had a comment? If AC, if you're through.
Oh, yeah, I have nothing to say.
Okay, Evelyn?
I just want to say that, you know, respecting the committee, it's even more critical that we be mindful of the employee that is attached to the job description. And even though we try to separate it out and it's not based on any one person, sometimes in a discussion there may be a reference, and it's too late once someone has said or made a comment to take it back if you're in public session. And we have to be ever mindful of, you know, our personnel issues and respect for the people who are employees of Pacifica in ensuring maintaining respect and confidentiality and as we discuss personnel issues. It would be the same with any job description, not just that for the CFO, but for, you know, the ED or any other employee. And I just think that we can always report out, but we should take great care in ensuring protection for employees of the network.
Okay.
This is Nia.
Nia?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Unless we're going to be discussing structural change, which that's not our charge, is to discuss structural change. There's nothing there that should be held in executive session. So I would like to say that the people that are on this call, you know, based on my knowledge of all of you, I think everyone here exercises good discretion. We'll just talk about the job description. We've gone over it many times. It's
yes.
Just a matter of approving it or not approving it. There's no need to associate anyone's name with it. We just say that it's the CFO job description.
Okay, that's fine. Let's go.
All right. Yeah, I would just propose that we all be, highly vigilant as we have been. And if someone feels a need to go into closed session, that they indicate that desire, which hopefully we would respect, because it's hard to describe what you want to do in closed session in open session. This is the dilemma that chairs face. So do we need to go to a vote on this? Would we just to...
Well, the time is up for the approval of the agenda.
Yeah.
Only 2 minutes, but I can...
Well, we could, for discussion, we had 2 minutes, so I'm sure the time's up.
Right.
If there's no objection, I'll call the roll, and we'll say that the motion is to hold it in closed session. So a yes vote means closed, and a no vote means open. Okay.
Well, since I was the only I believe I was the only one who opposed it initially.
Oh.
So, based on what the explanation that Evelyn gave, I'm not going to oppose it. So we can, unless somebody else who opposed it, I don't know.
So I guess we'll go ahead in open session. Is there? I think is that where the? I'm not sure where Evelyn, where you're coming down on this.
Well, I don't oppose us doing this in public session. I just want us to be ever mindful of where we are.
Okay,
and
good.
What we're doing.
All right, then we can go ahead in open session with that item. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Okay, is there any objection to approving the agenda? Hearing none, we can move on. Employee handbook. I talked to our HR director today about the employee handbook because this is something which I believe, you know, we're legally bound to, and it's woefully out of date. You read sections, and they don't seem to describe the same structure that we have. And one item that came up, maybe Evelyn, you have some insight into this. Did Yolanda Thomas work on a volunteer handbook for KPFT?
Yolanda, as well as Ernesto, and we have that new handbook is currently being used at KPFT.
FT. I know that, let's see, last year, our general manager at the time had created a policies and procedures book for KPFK, and included in there was the KPFT handbook. As, you know, a draft, not as an approved policy book. And according to Dominga, this was something that was supposed to come to the PNB for approval and did not. Is that
correct? Well, I believe copies of it were given to PNB members for review.
Yeah.
But it has not come back to the table. Governance was supposed to also take a look at it, I believe.
Yeah.
But it has not come back to the table as an agenda item, and it may be something that we need to move forward with instead of waiting for governance to do so.
I was wondering if maybe we could circulate that handbook amongst our committee here and see if we want to come up with a recommendation either for approval or, you know, review or modification.
I'd be happy to send a copy out if you guys don't have it.
Yeah, if you have it.
I'm sure I have it somewhere.
If you have it handy, that would be great. You don't have to do it right now.
Okay, that's good, because I don't know where my laptop is.
Yeah, for future reference.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on this item? Okay, hearing none. We can move on. Now, earlier today, this is an item which I think clearly falls under personnel, and because there's a window here to get a bylaws amendment onto the ballot that'll be going out in a couple of months and into the notice that will be starting apparently September 3rd. Earlier today, I sent out a proposed bylaws amendment for personnel committee consideration, and it pertains to the election supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody at their computer who does not have a copy, have that copy? I sent it at 8:32 a.m. Pacific time.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Is this the amendment that addresses the status of national election supervisor and the local...
Sir, could you speak directly into your phone, please?
Second here. Is that the amendment regarding concern about an election supervisor being categorized as a employee of the foundation?
Correct. The issue here is that apparently we've been cited by a California agency, employment I always forget what it is. It's EDD, Employment...
Development Department.
Development Department, that's it. That this particular article of the bylaws resembles a job description to a point where we have simply no choice but to categorize the election supervisors as employees, whereas we may wish to categorize them as contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation here is to strike the items that resemble a job description so that we maintain our flexibility so that we can, you know, if we choose, we decide that overall it's better to treat them as employees, we can do so. But if we want to contract the job out and not be bound by employment law and other provisions, we have that freedom. So what I am proposing is to strike the anything that goes beyond the bare minimum appointment of the supervisor and may retain the eligibility restriction against a current employee. I emphasize current because if we are going to hire someone as an employee, then there's no logic in saying they cannot be an employee of Pacifica, but that they should not be a current employee of the foundation or any foundation radio station or a delegate officer or director of the foundation or any LSB or a radio station staff member, paid or unpaid, retaining that item and eliminating anything that elaborates duties and other eligibility requirements that resemble a job description.
Point of information, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Has this been run by our HR director and the Foundation Council?
I've sent it to the HR director last week. The version that I sent would have striked everything after the first sentence in each section A and B, so that say it did not strike the eligibility. I mean, it did not retain the eligibility provision, which restricts the job from being given to staff or governance people. Having a informal discussion last week with the election vendor group, there was some opposition to striking that eligibility provision. So I thought, you know, to get this thing through so it won't be contentious, better put it back in, and it might be a good idea anyway. So I could probably send it back to HR, although I sent it this morning. I haven't had a response from HR, and I have not sent it to our corporate counsel.
Okay. The reason I was thinking about our Foundation Counsel, because he has a tremendous amount of experience in labor law, and so I thought maybe we could benefit from his.
Yeah.
I only heard half of what you said.
Oh.
Okay, Sarv, can you repeat?
The reason I suggested to send it to the Foundation Council is that he has a fairly extensive experience in labor law, and so I think we might be able to benefit from his experience.
Okay, Sarv, would you be willing to join me in requesting review of this from Council?
Absolutely.
Okay, and I need one other director. Anyone else care to join
me? I'll do it, Jack. This is Doc.
Okay, so Sarv, Evelyn, and Jack will send the amendment to Dan. Any other comments while we're on this topic? The point here is to protect us from liability.
Right.
Exactly.
And the sooner the better.
Totally
agree. Okay. All right, maybe we can move on from this agenda item. Get back to my agenda.
Jack, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, this is me. So are we saying that we're going to ask we're not going to do anything else with this? We're going to ask?
Well, well, suppose they, unless someone has a suggestion to change it, it might make sense to send it to Dan before, say, making a recommendation. However, since I would like to get this moving, I'd be happy to, if any directors would like to commit to sign on to it pending review by council and HR. Because it will take six directors to put this forward.
Well,
okay,
may
well,
I continue?
We can do that.
If it's,
I don't think Leah was finished.
Okay, everybody's talking at once, so who would like to speak?
May I finish?
I don't think Leah was finished.
Okay, Leah, are you finished?
No.
Okay, Evelyn?
No.
I don't think Nia's finished yet.
Oh, Nia, you're not finished. I'm sorry. I thought you said, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay,
oh, no.
Nia, go ahead.
No problem. I mean, because I'm having eye issues, just looking at really quickly, maybe we should have, like, you, Evelyn, and Dan take a look at it and then come back with another version of it, because I'm trying to be very careful about what I say because we're in public session.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm a little confused as to how this got misinterpreted in the first place. If you guys could see where I'm going with this. I don't understand.
Oh. Okay, I'm not quite sure where you're going, but I trust you that we don't want to talk about it here.
Right. Well, one of the reasons why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Right?
What are the reasons?
Why we're doing this. So does everybody know where I'm heading?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Well,
I don't understand why we even have to do this.
Okay.
I guess I'll say more in executive session then, because
okay.
I can't.
Maybe we'll
okay.
Take it up in closed session then.
Just for 2 minutes.
Okay. Anyone else? Was it Evelyn and Sarv?
I just wanted to say that there's been a couple of challenges in terms of our designating people as employees or contractors versus employees. And I think this is one of the areas that we need to just really try to be more specific in terms of how we're describing what those services are that we need to have rendered to make sure that we don't cross over the line. Because we have had a couple of challenges in a couple of states relating to what is a contracted person and what is an actual employee of the network. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's really important to look at this and get it, if we need to make a change, get it on the agenda so we can get the announcement done if we're going to have to do it.
Does that satisfy you for now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jack. Did you say Nia?
Yeah, I called on you, Nia, because it seemed like you had posed a question.
I think I need to give examples. That's why I would rather leave it for executive session.
Okay.
To say so.
All right. I thought I heard Sarv. I know I heard AC. Sarv, did you ask to be recognized?
Well,
Afia asked to be recognized.
Oh, I'm sorry, Afia. Okay.
Go ahead, Afia. I can come in there later.
Okay, go ahead, Afia.
I'm concerned about, I'm just seeing this for the first time. I don't know how much time other people have had to look at it and to think about it. And I'm concerned that about the ability to propose changes after Foundation Council has and HR has reviewed it and given opinion on it as it's currently drawn. I think there needs to be more time for us to be able to read it and to
make okay. I can just, for your information, I just sent this out this morning because I just completed this draft this morning. It's not necessarily has to be an action taken by this committee. If six directors will recommend this proposed amendment, then it can go forward. But however, that doesn't preclude the committee from weighing in. It may be that six directors do not sign on to it. There's not a hurry if you consider September 3rd to be, not too close. Since we are going to send it to Dan, if you're asking, can we hold off a little bit to review it before giving it to council, I think we could.
Mr. Chairman, this is Sarf.
Sarf?
I think that September 3rd is not very far, and I think given the urgency of the time frame, I personally would be willing to go ahead and, vote it out pending a review by the HR and our foundation council so that in a timely manner it can be noticed. I think the issue is pretty important, and I also share other people's view that they haven't had a chance to look at it in detail.
Well, why don't we say, since this is Monday, in 48 hours, people have 48 hours to review this before it goes to council?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be reasonable?
That's reasonable.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. There's no objection. And then AC, I have you on the stack.
Yeah, that's okay. I think everything has been said satisfied.
So we'll hold off 48 hours on that. And going back to the agenda, I forgot something. Oh, well. I'll just briefly mention, because I promised our KPFK Personnel Committee to raise an issue of somehow constructing a legal liability assessment for Pacifica. And I noticed the National Finance Committee seems to have a similar item on their agenda for tonight,
mm-hmm.
with Dan Siegel and Mike, and maybe they have making some progress there. Again, I asked our HR director, and she said that it might be something we would contract with a consultant to devise for us.
Point of information, Mr. Chairman.
No, wait. Come to think, I think she actually said. She said I'm mixing that up with the handbook response. Actually, she said that it would be something maybe for the corporate counsel to look into. Okay, Sarv, the question.
Yeah, I just didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, I'm just introducing an item briefly that I am promised I would bring to this committee, but I think it's premature and it's not on our agenda. So I just that was just a comment, and unless people really want to amend the agenda, I think we should move on.
Okay.
I apologize.
Move on.
Yeah, CFO job description. Let's see here. Okay, so the draft. Multiple choice draft that I sent out with the agenda. Title of the document is CFO MC Post Houston Draft Revision 1. This is where we left this document. There were a number, each paragraph, almost every paragraph has an alternate version because we started out with three versions. Some of them were mooted by the decision made in Houston on the reporting structure. I'm hoping that we could work our way through this draft and just come to a decision on each alternate version, which one we like, which one we don't, and then propose the total draft to the PNB. I think there aren't any conflicts between provisions where if one goes one way, it affects other provisions. They all seem to be pretty much independent, unless I've missed something. So if there's no objection, I'd like to just work through the paragraphs one at a time.
This is Nia.
Nia.
Jack.
Yeah.
I have the, pardon my eyes here. But what you sent out today,
yep.
The survey, is we're going through the survey?
No, this is the other document. It's the CFO, it's a CFO MC post-Houston draft revision one.
And, Lauren, is this the MC? Okay. That's the one on top. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, for example, paragraph one.
I got it.
Yeah. The one version adds the phrase, in which you see in boldface, in the
from time
like the second sentence. She, he shall cause the funds of the foundation to be dispersed as she may be properly directed. One version has from time to time, and then the other version just stops and says as he or she may be properly directed. This is one of the more hair-splitting variations. I honestly don't know what difference it makes whether you're properly directed from time to time or whether you're properly directed whenever.
Yeah.
any discussion on this?
Is that the only difference in the item one, Mr. Chairman?
That is the only difference.
From time to time?
Yeah. I think it may be that it reflects the bylaws language or something.
The bylaws has from time to time?
Now I have to look it up. Me and my big mom.
Yeah, this is Nia. If my memory serves, I'm sorry. Oops, I wasn't recognized.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I think that this from time to time was to be included. It's been a while now.
If it's in the bylaws, then I'm in the favor of.
Yeah, it is from the bylaws.
Okay.
In Article 9, Section B. She, he shall cause the funds of the foundation to be dispersed as she, he may be properly directed from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then
maybe I'd entertain a motion to
go with the
time to time version.
Yeah, I move.
Is there any objection to that?
Well, who initiates time to time? What are you saying in the bylaws?
Well,
the bylaws requiring what's the bylaws requiring? I don't have my thing.
Yeah. Well, it says chief. It doesn't specify who would be directing. So it could be the board. It could also be the executive director.
Well, it seems to me that if the CFO. As long as the CFO remains an employee of the board, then it should be the board. Change that in the bylaw, that's different.
Well, the beauty of this is that the job description reflects what's in the bylaws and doesn't elaborate further whether you put from time to time in or leave it out.
Well, I think if it's Mr. Chairman, the SARF.
Yes, SARF.
I think it's pretty. This is when you say properly directed from time to time. I think that if somebody improperly directed, I think that can be brought to the board and can be done there. So I think it's pretty safe bet really to go in that direction for the bylaws.
Yeah, I don't see any need to go there with this one.
Yeah.
AC,
if you properly directed, is that going to be included?
It is.
Well, but that's that's taken right out of the bylaws. Draft says she/he shall cause the funds of the foundation to be dispersed as she/he may be properly directed from time to time, and the job description draft she/he shall cause the funds of the foundation to be dispersed as she/he may be properly directed from time to time.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the item 1A.
Yeah, 1A. Time to time. Is there any objection to doing so? Hearing none, that's approved. The next item is the inclusion of the Houston reporting structure resolution from the National Board, that the National Finance staff works under the direction of the CFO. All Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other National Finance staff, shall report to the ED, but the CFO-PNB reporting relationship shall be kept intact. So the question is, do we want to include that?
What over that again? I'm sorry.
This is the resolution that the PNB approved in Houston on the reporting structure. The National Finance staff works under the direction of the CFO. All Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other National Finance staff, shall report to the ED, but the CFO-PNB reporting relationship shall be kept intact.
Okay. Well, what do you think that meant, the PNB and the CFO? I mean, the ED, sorry.
What do I think it meant?
Yeah, and that...
What it means is that the CFO actually has two bosses, the ED and also the PNB. The difference being that the PNB has hiring and firing authority, whereas the ED does not.
Mr. Chairman, the SARF?
SARF?
It's already, part of that is already included in the item one anyway.
Yeah, so you're recommending it's superfluous?
Yeah, it's already there.
Okay. Is anyone,
well,
any other discussion?
Yeah, I want to ask the question, Saab.
Sure.
Because if you say that I'm going on what you had just said. If you say, in effect, that the board, PNB, has a hiring and firing provision out there for itself, and
right,
you
yeah.
the operations of the CFO. I don't think that's what the bylaws say. You can check it out, but I thought it, the bylaw specifically made the CFO specifically directed that the CFO is working for the board itself. And I think we're sort of, in a way, overriding the bylaws. Even if the board made that decision, it was an incorrect decision.
Right.
Hmm.
Then
what does the bylaws say about the CFO?
Is that a question for Sarv, AC?
Oh. I was asking Sarv that and you.
No.
Okay. Sarv, do you have a response?
Well, I think that, you know, if the national board passes something that I think that we'll have to override it there in the national board level, because, you know, if they pass something, then we are a committee of the board, and they've already decided that all staff works under the direction of the national finance staff works under the direction of CFO.
Yeah.
All staff, including CFO, they report to ED. I don't know whatever that means, but the CFO-PNB reporting relationship should be kept intact. What that means is that the ED cannot hire and fire the CFO. Or if CFO has a problem of some kind.
Hey, raise this question. Is the reporting to both the board and to the ED?
I don't know what that means, reporting.
I thought the reporting had to do with reporting to the board and the CD, which before, not ED, the ED before didn't have to be reported to. So now we're saying that they do, which I find no problem with the CFO reporting to both.
Yeah,
but I find a problem with the CFO only reporting to the ED. That's not legal.
No. CFO reports both to the ED as well as the as the board.
We should make that language clear because this,
yeah.
It can't do that without changing the bylaw.
What I recommend is that in order to move forward, that we simply decide on whether we want to include this or not without reopening the question of the language, because the purpose of going to the PNB to resolve this issue was to, you know, get it out of our hands so that we could go ahead and finish the draft. So The question here is whether we want to include this resolution from the PNB in the job description, or whether, you know, it stands as a resolution until proven otherwise and leave it out.
Mr. Chairman, this is Sarv.
Sarv.
I think that, I don't see a necessity for incorporating the resolutions of the board into our job descriptions. I think that job descriptions are, you know, specifically tailored to one particular thing, and we had a lot of other considerations, and there's no need to be incorporating here, because then we'll get stuck in trying to explain of everything. And I think the item 1A is very clear, that the chief financial officer reports directly to both the Pacifica National Board of Directors and the Foundation Executive Director, and I think that should suffice.
Okay. And Sarv, would you move to strike that board resolution from the draft?
Let's see.
Yeah, just the book.
Yeah.
Just to take it out of the job description.
Yeah, that's what I was. I'd like to hear other people if they have any concerns.
Does anyone have a view on that? Is there any objection to striking?
I think it just bogs down more.
Maybe we'll just take it out.
That's what I suggest.
If there's no objection, I'll say that we're taking it out.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Remove that Houston resolution. Paragraph number 2 does not have any variants. Sitka Foundation, nonprofit agency providing educational services. Its mission is to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for education purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. Corporation services are provided in Berkeley, North Hollywood, California, Washington, D.C., Houston, Texas, and New York, New York.
Mr. Chairman,
Berkeley.
Mr. Chairman, typo in Berkeley. And mine is correct, too. And I also would move, this is a tough one, I'd like to move to approve this item, too.
Fine.
I know we don't need it, but so moved, because there's no issue here.
Yeah, there's no issue here. It's just to correct the typo. Okay, if there's no objection, we'll approve paragraph 2 as corrected. Okay, now we move on to item 3. Now we get into some of the slightly juicier stuff. The chief financial officer oversees the organization's financial goals, objectives, and budgets. The sentence in question follows: the investment of funds and manage associated risks, supervise cash management activities. And so one version has that sentence and one version leaves it out. The investment of funds and manage associated risks, supervise cash management activities.
I think that's not a bad idea. It's our.
I say it should be, I'm sorry, this is Nia.
Go ahead, Nia.
I'd say it should be in, and if my memory serves me correctly, I think that's also in the policies and procedures handbook. Do you remember that, Evelyn? Somehow this looks familiar, but I definitely think it should be in there. That's the job of the CFO.
It is in there, and I don't remember exactly, because I haven't looked at it in about 6 or 7 months. But we do have, there is something in there relating to that. And I will try my best to get that to everyone, if not this evening, then sometime tomorrow. I'm traveling, and so stuff is packed away, but I'll find my laptop and get this out as quick as I can.
Okay, and then the rest of the paragraph, do you want me to read the rest of the paragraph?
It's
not a whole lot. Direct financial operations, including payroll, internal controls, and auditing, and establish and maintain the objectives and strategy for the finance department. She shall keep and maintain, or cause to be kept and maintained, adequate and correct books and records of accounts of the properties and business transactions of the foundation, including accounts of its assets, liabilities, receipts, disbursements, gains, losses, capital, and retained earnings.
Mm-hmm.
So, was that Sarv?
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think that's I'd move to approve that, 3A.
Okay, 3A, the inclusion of investment of funds and manage associated risks, supervise cash management activities. Is there any further discussion of this item? Is there any objection to approving item 3A then?
No.
Okay, great. We move on to number 4, which is, again, there's no variant on this. The chief financial officer shall cause to be deposited all monies and other valuables in the name and to the credit of the foundation with such depositaries as may be designated by the board. He shall protect the assets of the organization and meet all standards of transparency and accounting principles. Principles is spelled wrong. It's the wrong kind. It's like the school principal. And accounting principles, as befits a nonprofit organization. Any comment on this?
Good to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is one. This is not
AC.
Yeah, this is not an objection, but there is one problem. The problem is, and that's something that we're going to have to address sooner or later. I don't know if it's appropriate to address it here, but when you say keep management and control over all monies in Pacifica, I think there probably needs to be some changes in that, because we don't know, at least the CFO doesn't know, and that was one of the mistakes I think we made when we drafted this bylaws. They don't know what's going on in the finances and the bank accounts. You know, each one of these stations have a separate, independent bank account. They can report it out to the CFO, but the CFO doesn't have the authority to go in and check it and without just simply requesting it. And I think that the CFO and the ED, whoever, should have the authority to know exactly how much money is in Pacific at all times, because all of us, all of the stations, is a part of the foundation.
This is Doc.
Doc, go ahead.
Because of the nature of what the CFO is in terms of being the chief financial officer,
that ought to be
where the buck stops. And the CFO does have the authority to know what's going on with all of the bank accounts. May I finish, please?
AC, please.
Okay, go ahead. He doesn't have the authority, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Evelyn.
All of the business managers are supposed to report that information. And I think part of the discussion has been the fact that a request has to be understood to be more than a simple, you know, will you please. It's the duty of the business manager to ensure that the CFO has the information and that the CFO get the information in order to do timely reporting to the PNB. If we wanted to make it more specific, you know, we could do that, but the authority through general accounting principles rests with the chief financial officer of any corporation to understand and to know the business of the corporation in the area of finances. That's what he's there for, or what she would be there for. That's the whole purpose of having a chief financial officer, so that they coordinate and have access, authority, and understanding of the financial operations of the organization.
I agree with you on that, but that is not the way it operates.
Okay, AC, we have to take turns here. Does anyone else have a comment besides Evelyn and AC on this paragraph?
Is Sarv?
Sarv?
This is Nan.
Okay. Sarv, go ahead.
I think Doc said it very clearly, but I think that since the requirements for CFO, if they are articulated in general accepted accounting practices, I think maybe we could add here explicitly that these responsibilities of the CFO are predicated on timely information provided by the local station business managers, something to that nature.
Okay.
That they should provide in a timely manner. all information that's required by the CFO to fulfill these functions.
I just have to comment, that sounds more like a board policy than a job description for the CFO. The CFO will have no control over.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can...
I mean, I appreciate the sentiment here and the concern. I just have to say before I call on Nia, if you're through, Sarv, that if this is included in the job description, then it's the foundation is essentially giving this authority to the CFO. Sarv, if you're through.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
Okay, Nia.
All right.
Yes, I understand what AC is saying. However, it should be in the business manager's job description. You know, I agree with Evelyn that they should make sure that they give the information to the CFO. But as far as the CFO is concerned, I think this is enough to say that, you know, because he is in charge of it.
Yeah.
It might not be happening, but the CFO has to speak to the ED, who will then speak to the general manager to make sure that the business managers do it. So I think we should leave this as it is.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Any other comments on item 4? Is there a motion then to approve paragraph 4 as written?
So moved.
Okay. Is there any objection? All right. Hearing none, paragraph 4 approved. Now we move on to duties and responsibilities. The first paragraph under duties and responsibilities is without variation. Direct the financial and accounting function and maintain responsibility for monthly and annual financial reporting, financial analysis, audit, banking, cash management, budgeting, and risk management. Any comment?
I move that we approve.
Okay. Any objection to approving item 1 of duties and responsibilities? Hearing none, that's approved. Paragraph 2, now we have a discrepancy here. 2A reads, prepare financial reports and analyses at least quarterly and make presentations should be to the executive director, the national board, and the national board finance committee. This is a typo. I'm going to assume that they should both say 4. Presentations. How did this get this way? Presentations. Does that make more
sense? Okay, say that again, Jack. I'm sorry.
It's prepare financial reports and analyses at least quarterly and make presentations. It's either 2 or 4, the executive director, the national board, or the national board finance committee. They both sort of work. Presentations 2, I think. Or
right, because what we're looking at is, I have my question is, we're asking, making sure that the CFO understands they have to give financial reports and presentations to those groups, correct?
Yeah, it should be either. I mean, they both should have either 2 or they both should have 4. It doesn't matter. The item that's up for consideration is the next sentence.
This is Nia, point of order.
Okay, Nia.
Okay, we're at time. I'd like to make a motion to extend until we're through with this item.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Requires 2/3. Is there any objection to extending time until we're completed with this?
Could I ask a question, please?
Sure, Ifia. What's your question?
When Nia says this item meaning this number or this document?
Nia?
The document. I meant the entire document. Sorry. And then I have a comment. I'm sorry.
Okay. First, is there any objection to extending time?
To extend the time to go through the entire document.
Yeah.
That's going to be way beyond the amount of time that was allocated.
I move to extend time for 15 minutes.
15
I think
minutes.
We need more than that.
Well, I think that we're going pretty fast here.
Maybe at 15
minutes. If later on we need to extend it, we can do that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Motion to extend by 15. Is there any objection to that?
Because I am concerned that we stick with the amount of time. That's the reason that I acquiesced and came on this call tonight, that we stay with the amount of time that was was projected, and I don't want to get caught into every 15 minutes, and I'm winding up being on the phone for another 2 hours. I'm not up for that.
Okay, should we go to a vote on extending time?
Yes.
All right, let me call the roll here.
What is that? Is that
an extension of time for 15 minutes on the CFO job description?
My objection is that it winds up being 15 minutes, until it winds up with the same result, that we are on the phone beyond the amount of time that we agreed to be on the phone, which was an hour.
Okay.
We're using up time right now.
Yeah, we're using up time, so let's just vote on whether or not to extend time. If you vote yes, you'd like to extend by 15 minutes. AC Bird?
Yes. There's a provision in there, though. But
okay.
Go ahead.
Afia? How do you
no.
vote?
No.
Okay. Sarv, how do you vote?
Yes.
Okay. Nia?
Yes.
Evelyn?
Yes.
And Jack doesn't vote. So the motion carries by two-thirds margin. Time is extended. And we go back to item 2A under duties and responsibilities. Now, the sentence that's in question is prepare reports for local station boards as requested.
This is Nia. May I be recognized?
Nia, go ahead.
In reality, the business manager and the GM prepare the reports for the local station board. So I would like to make a motion to strike that.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion to strike?
I second that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Sarv?
So all we're doing is between A and B, we can select one or the other. And we'll
just... Yeah. If we select A, then we strike.
That's it.
The sentence, right.
So I move to select A, 2A.
Okay. Is it okay if we go with presentations? What should it be? Should it be for the executive director or to the executive director? Anyone?
To figure
this out.
This is Doc.
Doc.
Could we just say 4/2? Because sometimes they may make it 4, and sometimes it may be directed.
Yeah.
Two.
Well, that way
we've got it covered.
That sounds great.
So moved.
4-2. Okay. Is there any objection to approving item 2A under duties and responsibilities with the amendment 4/2? I apologize to my dog.
No.
Okay.
Your dog says no objection.
No, but dog doesn't object at all.
Okay. I'm going to have to put her away. Hold on a minute. Come on, dog.
He's happy.
Will not go in the house. Okay. So, item 2A is approved as amended. We go on to number 3, which has no variation. Prepare the annual budget, financial projections for year-end forecasting, and audit coordination, including preparation and collection of audit information, as well as function as the primary liaison to auditors.
I move to approve that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any objection to approving item 3 under duties and responsibilities? Hearing none, that's approved. Item 4, collaborate with other members of the senior management team on financial and fundraising priorities. There's no
move
variation.
Move to approve.
Oh, move to approve. Any objection to approving item 4?
Nope.
Hearing none, that's approved. Item 5, manage the organization's banking relationships and cash position. There's no variation here.
No objection to approving that.
Okay. If there's no objection to approving item 5, hearing none, that's approved.
How does he manage the cash position? Manage the organization's banking relationships and cash position. What are we saying here?
Well,
this is Doc.
Evelyn, go ahead.
That would have to do relate to maintaining a clear knowledge of all of the bank accounts, what is, you know, what is currently on deposit, and the income and expenses, making sure the reports are accurate. And those reports are, you know, will be forthcoming from the business manager.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Evelyn.
And so that, you know, also ensures that there is a relationship with the CFO has a relationship with the business managers, because he or she has to get that information and make sure that it's accurate for reporting purposes.
I'm sorry.
This is Nia.
Nia, go ahead.
Yeah, I think what they're saying is that, in my interpretation, and I'm just asking that not to be devil's advocate, but in deciding what bills get paid, manage your organization's banking relationships and cash position, right?
That's a part of the CFO's position, you know, in terms of the day-to-day operations of the foundation. But the bill payment on the local level goes through the business managers, because they're the ones who manage and balance the bank account on a local level. But it's also my understanding that all checks basically go through the national office. Even payroll is submitted to the national office.
Okay, Sarv, you have a point of information.
Isn't it true that the organizational board and the CFO and the ED, they're responsible for the network, and I think that CFO should be aware of what's going on in each one of the stations, so that we're not too far into a bad situation financially. It would sometimes be too late. So I think
I'm sorry. So we're not too far into what?
Not too far into debt or some adverse kind of a position that later on we find ourselves. I think it's just kind of a good idea for the CFO to be on top of it.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, our organization, the way we operate, we have money that comes in at fund drives, and then there are months when it doesn't come in. We have money that comes from CPB at certain times. We have money that goes into restricted accounts and maybe cash on the balance sheet but isn't available for day-to-day operations. I would imagine managing the cash position is keeping account of all of this and making sure that it's functioning optimally. I think there hasn't been any controversy till now about this item. It seems to be fully within the CFO's purview, as far as I can tell.